This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أعاذنا الله وإياكم من النار. My dear respected brothers and sisters, we are living in a time and age where holding on to your religion is more difficult than holding on to hot coal. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said in a hadith, ليأتي على الناس زمان القابض على دينه كالقابض على الجمر. Where holding on to your religion is like holding on to hot coal. You walk past Wormsor Road, there are shisha bars, right? Coals are being used to light up the shisha. Imagine, brothers and sisters, you picked that up and you held on to it. Would you be able to hold on to that hot coal, brothers and sisters? You wouldn't be able to. لا يأتي زمان إلا الذي بعده شر منه, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us. There won't come a time at the end of times, my brothers and my sisters, except the time that comes after is far worse. Our faith is on the line. Many of our youngsters are flirting with disbelief. They are on the verge of apostasy because of fitna to shubuhat, the fitna of doubts that have become so rampant, whether it is on the streets of Manchester, in the university, or anywhere else. The universities have become breeding grounds for kufr, shirk, liberalism, feminism, and many colorful things, right? Their faith is on the line, brothers and sisters. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. This is a companion, brothers and sisters. والمكثرون في رواية الأثر أبو هريرة يليه ابن عمر. The one who narrated the most hadith was who? Abu Huraira. And then Abdullah ibn Umar, as Hafid al-Iraqi mentioned, or as Suyuti in his Alfiyah of Mustalah al-Hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar was second in line, right? Why am I mentioning this, brothers and sisters? Out of all people, Abdullah ibn Umar, when he would go for Umrah, we've heard of Safa and Marwa, right? He would stand at Safa, and this is from the places where your dua gets accepted. And he would say, Allahumma, O Allah, innaka qult, you said, ud'uni astajib lakum. O Allah, you said, call on to me so I can respond to you. Fa'innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. And O Allah, you do not break the promises. And look what he supplicated, brothers and sisters. Look at the dua that he made. Allahumma, inni as'aluka kama hadaytani ila al-islami an la tanzi'ahu minni. O Allah, I ask you, just as you guided me to al-Islam, Ya Allah, don't take Islam away from me. This is Abdullah ibn Umar, brothers and sisters. وَأَنْتَ تَوَفَّانِي وَأَنَا مُسْلِمٌ. And Ya Allah, take my soul while I am in the state of Islam. I am a Muslim, Ya Allah. Allow me to die as a Muslim. Look how he was so terrified of losing his faith. They didn't have the type of doubts that we are dealing with today, brothers and sisters. Whether it may be atheism that shakes your faith to the core, liberalism, feminism. Wallahi, some of the statements that we are hearing from some of our sisters on social media after one of them became a Muslim. We know that this very well-known individual became a Muslim, right? Some of the things that is coming out of our Muslim sisters, where they are flirting with kufr and disbelief. Subhanallah. This is a type of time that we are living in, brothers and sisters, where our faith is being shaken to the core because of all the doubts that we are dealing with. One time I heard one of our mashayikh in Al-Madinah mention that there was once upon a time where they would tell the professors, don't teach the students about all of these different doubts. Why? Because most likely these students, when they go back to the UK or when they go back to their countries, they will not come across it. Maybe now we will expose them to something that they weren't even thinking about. He said, them days are long gone. Why? Because the whole world has become like a small little village. Agreed, brothers and sisters? The whole world has become like a small little village where you have the whole world a fingertip away. These gadgets and phones that we have handed over to our children, brothers and sisters, they are accessing all types of filth and evil. They click on these hashtags. Once upon a time, subhanAllah, the parent would say, Alhamdulillah, Wilkega, Gabarteida, Guriga, Ijoga, and they are all at home. They don't hang around with the wrong crowd. He would say, Alhamdulillah, they are all here. They don't hang around with drug dealers. They don't hang around with women who go clubbing in miniskirts. Because we thought at the time that this is the only way that our children will become corrupted, sah. These days are long gone, brothers and sisters. That young child is inside of the bedroom upstairs with these gadgets, and they are being exposed to all types of doubts. And then the child comes to the father and says, Dad, I came across this and I came across that. I have some questions. The child is doubting Islam. And then the Abba, the father, he gets angry. Why are you getting angry? Or says, let me now take him to Quran Saris. He's probably got jinn. Let me go to the Raqi. No, he doesn't have jinn. He just does not know, because he's being exposed to all of these doubts, my brothers and my sisters. Why am I mentioning this, brothers and sisters? Look at Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, begging Allah azza wa jal to allow him to die as a Muslim. Who from amongst us here, with this kind of environment that we live in, has ever even thought about, Ya Allah, allow me to die as a Muslim? Look at the greatest of the prophets, my brothers and my sisters. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, wasn't he the prophet who Allah told us about, قَدَ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ. You have a perfect example in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who fulfilled the commands of his Lord with perfection. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah told him to submit, and he submitted straight away in everything that he was told. No whys and no but. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to slaughter his own child straight away. No why and no but. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs him, my brothers and sisters, to leave his family in the middle of nowhere. Imagine that. Imagine we were instructed to leave our children in the middle of nowhere, brothers and sisters. His wife Hajar, and also his son in the middle of nowhere. And he's walking away, and she's running after him saying, Allahu amaraka bihadha, did Allah Azza wa Jal instruct you with this? He said, Na'am, Allah told me to leave you. He says, Idhan la yudayya'an Allah. If that's the case, Allah Azza wa Jal will not forsake us. Can everybody move forward, please? I've just been given the signal. They're struggling to get in. Please try to get as forward as possible. Ahsan Allahu ilaykum. My brothers and my sisters, he was instructed to construct a Kaaba under the scorching heat. Under the scorching heat, Ibrahim and his son Ismail, they are building the Kaaba. For those who have gone to Al-Madinah and Mecca, we know how hot it is, right? He's what? Constructing the Kaaba, brothers and sisters. No whys and no buts, straight away. This verse, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Right? It would make Sheikh Bin Baz cry. You know why? This is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah told him to submit. He was chosen for this particular job that no one else was asked to carry out. And even then he says, Ya Allah, accept from me. Having said all of this, my brothers and my sisters, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he smashed the idols, right? What does he say straight after that? وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. He makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on in his life. Oh Allah, prevent me and also my children from worshipping idols. This is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was our perfect example when it came to at-tawheed. When it came to waging war against the worst possible sin, which is a shirk. And then he says, Ya Allah, prevent me and also my children from worshipping statues and idols. This is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, brothers and sisters. It wasn't just Ibrahim. You look at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is one of the great lessons that we can take from this wonderful chapter. Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk wa 'allamtani min ta'wil al-hadith fatir as-samawati wal-ard anta waliyyi fi ad-dunya wal-akhirah tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis-salihin. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, who was such a patient human being, he went through so many trials and tribulations, and you would think to yourself that because of his patience he would be guaranteed al-jannah, right? Or he might think of that, sah. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah tells us about the people of patience. They will be granted, right, a reckoning or a reward without any accountability. Right? He begs Allah, وَتَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Allow me to die as a Muslim, O Allah, and make me from amongst the righteous. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبَرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Oh Allah, grant us patience and allow us to die as Muslims. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who walked on the face of this earth with no past and future sins, right? He begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى دِينِكَ. O turner of the hearts, keep our hearts firm upon your religion. In another hadith, we are told that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, فَإِذَا عَرَدْتَ لِعِبَادِكَ فِتْنَةِ فَاقْبُضْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرُ مَفْتُونَ. O Allah, if you want fitna for your ibad, Ya Allah, take my soul, and I have not been trialed in my religion. These are the prophets, my brothers and my sisters. Right? And then you compare it to our situation with everything that we are going through. Whether you're old in age, whether you're young, my brothers and my sisters. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Hasten to doing good deeds. The fitan, the temptations, the trials, they are like the dark patches of the night. Imagine now walking in the forest and there is no light. You will see yourself tripping over left, right, and center. You don't know where you're heading. This is what the fitna does to a person when it strikes him. He doesn't know which direction he's going into. He becomes almost unrecognizable. He loses his way, brothers and sisters. We are being told to do righteous deeds. Perhaps the righteous deeds will help us in this kind of situation. يُصْبِحُ الْإِنسَانُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. When he wakes up in the morning and then by the night he's a kafir. He's lost his tawheed. He's lost his monotheism. وَيُمْسِي الْإِنسَانُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. It may well be when the time of the evening enters, he is a believer. He has Islam. And then by the morning, he's become a kafir. You know, I used to say to myself, what are some of the things that could cause this? Now you look at these phones. He's just on his phone. By the evening, he may have just finished the Maghrib prayer or the Isha prayer. Brothers and sisters, he gets onto his phone. The first message that he receives on WhatsApp is a message that shakes his faith. And then in a couple of moments, he has left the fold of Islam. And then by the morning, my brothers and my sisters, he's questioning whether I should go to Fajr or not because of some of the doubts that he was exposed to, brothers and sisters. Right? The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does it not scare us? Most of us have memorized it. In fact, our children have memorized it. إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ. One, he keeps doing the actions of the people of Jannah until between him and also entering into Al-Jannah is the length of a handspan or an arm's length, however they translate it. Just a little bit left before he enters into Al-Jannah, brothers and sisters. Just a little bit. Imagine your lifespan is 81 years of age. 80 years you are worshipping Allah. And then that 1 year, you lose your way. Is that possible for it to happen without a shadow of a doubt? Especially in the time and age that we live in. Right? You might ask yourself, why would that happen? Or why would Allah allow this to happen? Ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi explains this. You know what he says? لِدَسِيسَةٍ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Because of a disease in his heart. You know what this disease is? Some of us, my brothers and my, we know what is right and what is wrong. However, sometimes the shaitan, he whispers and he says, it is just one night. You got away with it once. You got away with it twice. No one found out what you were doing behind everyone else's back. This reminds me of what one of the brothers of Yusuf said. Uqtulu Yusuf. Sah? Let's kill him. They were overwhelmed with envy. And then what happens after? وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. After we've done the crime, we've killed him, we will all become righteous people. This is the kind of mindset that we suffer from. Just once, I already got away with it. A couple of times, let me just do it one more time. And because of that, he ends up having a very bad ending. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى المجتبى. My beloved brothers and sisters, from time to time we come across videos, clips, snippets of those who had a very pleasant ending. Not so long ago, and I'm sure it's still fresh in the minds of many who have attended today, that Indonesian lady who was reading Surah Al-Baqarah, I believe, and then she passed away. The video went viral. I'm sure a lot of us have seen it, right? She was reading the Quran and that was the last thing that came out of her mouth. You think, my brothers and my sisters, this happens just by chance? I've seen people drop dead in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid. I've seen people die and the last thing that he was doing was holding a mushaf in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid. You do a little bit of digging up and you come to know that this man was a person of Quran. He was always reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Another was maybe a person of Salah and he died in his Salah, brothers and sisters. We see these CCTV clips going around, right? At a time when no one is in the masjid, there's that one guy and then he dies in his Salah. You think this happens by chance, my brothers and my sisters? Right? I'll give you guys another example of Abu Zur'at al-Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, who was from the great muhaddithin of the past. Look how he died, my brothers and my sisters, and it will teach us a huge lesson. Muhammad ibn Idris and also Abu Hatim al-Razi rahmatullahi alayhima, they entered upon Abu Zur'ah, who was on his deathbed, but because he was the teacher, they didn't feel comfortable to tell him to say La ilaha illallah. They said to him, let's start revising some of the ahadith of when one is on his deathbed. Everyone here, he has memorized the hadith, right? Whoever's last statement is La ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah, sah? Naam. So when one is on his deathbed, we try to do the talqeen. So they entered upon him and they were like, let's revise some of the hadith. And then they mention the chain of the hadith. لَوْلَا الْإِسْنَادِ لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءُ مَا شَاءَ Right? مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ The chains are important, and they were muhaddithun, right? Scholars of hadith, always working and dealing with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then, subhanallah, this man who's on his deathbed, he says, حَدَّثْنَا أَبُو عَاصِمَ النَّبِيلِ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا عَبْدُ الْحَمِيدِ بْنُ جَعْفَرِ قال حدثنا صالح بن أبي عريب عن كثير بن مرة عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله and that's how he passed away. He didn't complete the hadith because we have to try and get that person to say لا إله إلا الله and that's the last thing that we hope that he says. The last thing that came out of his mouth was لا إله إلا الله with the hat. And that's how he passed away, brothers and sisters. How can we have a death like this, my brothers and my sisters? Right? The scholars, they mention reasons. Number one, my brothers and my sisters, being someone who learns about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his obligations. Learning about a tawheed, right? From a very young age, we grew up, my brothers and my sisters, saying swear on your dead nan's grave. Swear on your mom's life. Right? Swear on your dad's life. Little do we know that this is something that will cause our tawheed to diminish. It is the most precious thing that we as Muslims can hold on to, my brothers and my sisters. Right? And there are so many different practices that we see ourselves falling into. Issues pertaining to going against the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being enraged and upset at it. This all affects our monotheism, our tawheed of Allah jalla fi'ula. And the opposite, my brothers and my sisters, is also true of how an individual can die an unpleasant death. Have you guys heard of someone called Alan Shearer? He's currently the Match of the Day presenter, right? I always give this example. One sheikh one time told me about a young man who was on his deathbed. They went to visit him so they can maybe do the talqeen of La ilaha illallah. You walk into his bedroom, you find the wallpaper has an image of Alan Shearer. Blanket has an image of Alan Shearer. Everything you see, Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. He wakes up Alan Shearer, he goes to sleep Alan Shearer. And for those who don't know who I'm talking about, he was known as the fox in the box. A striker was scoring all of the goals, and I believe he's still the all-time Premier League top goal scorer. Like the Ronaldo and Messi of yesterday. Right? He's on his deathbed. They tried to get him to say, La ilaha illallah. What do you think he said, brothers and sisters? Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. Everyone here can say, La ilaha illallah, brothers. No one will have an issue. But on the deathbed, it's not that straightforward. Right? Especially my brothers and my sisters, if we were people of sins. Look what Al-Allamah ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his kitab Al-Jawab al-Kafi. He says one of those individuals was on his deathbed and they tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah. You know what he said, brothers and sisters? وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنِّي وَمَا أَعْرِفُ أَنِّي صَلَّيْتُ لِلَّهِ صَلَاةً وَلَمْ يَقُلْهَا Because how is this going to benefit me? This is a Muslim saying this. How is La ilaha illallah going to benefit me? I have never prayed a single prayer. That's what came out of his mouth and he passed away like that. Another example, my brothers and my sisters, Ibn Rajab, he speaks about a righteous man from the past called Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad. He was on his deathbed. No, sorry. He said he went to visit someone who was on his deathbed. He said, say la ilaha illallah. You know what that man said? Huwa kafirun bima taqul. He is a disbeliever in that which you are saying. And that's how he passed away. So he done some digging up to find out what kind of life did this person live. فَإِذَا هُوَ مُدْمِنُ الْخَمَرِ He was someone who was an alcoholic. Subhanallah. And to conclude, my brothers and my sisters, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he tells us about an individual who was on his deathbed. They tried to get him to say, La ilaha illallah. He was someone, my brothers and my sisters, who used to hum a lot. He's on his deathbed. They ask him to say, La ilaha illallah. You know what he says? Tantata, tanta. Tentata, tenta. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions this in his book over 700 years ago. Someone may grab me outside and say, there's a difference of opinion on music. And without a shadow of a doubt, this is not something that is true at all. There are ijma'at, centuries after centuries, where scholars, they done tahreem of this. Even then, let's just say for argument's sake, even though that's not the case, that there's a difference of opinion. Let me ask you a question. The last thing that you want to be uttering before you leave this world, is it a lyric from maybe Kanye West or Justin Bieber or Madonna? That's the last thing that's coming out of your mouth, and that's how you pass away? Every single Eid, brothers and sisters, every Eid, I hear about someone who died with alcohol in his mouth, or someone who was jumping up and down in the club, or blasting music in his car. Every Eid I hear about it. Right? Maybe the shaitan was telling him, 30 days in the month of Ramadan, you done great, mashallah, tabarakallah. Right? Just enjoy yourself one night, and we can see on Wombs or Road, right? It is as if the shayateen have been released. Could actually see it happening with the way people are behaving. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. To conclude, my brothers and my sisters, what is it that we need to stay away from? Perhaps that might be the cause of us falling off. Dhunubul khalawat. There's so many that can be mentioned. Dhunubul khalawat. Ibn al-Qayyim says, Dhunubul khalawat sababun intikasat. The sins that you do in private is a reason why you fall off. وَعِبَادَةُ الْخَلَوَاتِ سَبَبٌ لِلثَّبَاتِ. You doing righteous acts while you are alone, no one's watching, is the reason why Allah will keep you firm. Brothers and sisters, الدُّعَاء, we talked about it, look how they were. And then also righteous deeds, right? Especially learning about Allah Azza wa Jal, the Tawheed, right? It's a reason why we will die upon التوحيد, which is La ilaha illallah, رَبَّنَا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما ربنا نجنا وأهالينا مما يعملون ربنا نجنا وأهالينا مما يعملون سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
So my brothers and my sisters, we've just been told that there is a huge gathering outside. They haven't prayed Jum'ah. So we will do, inshallah ta'ala, a summarized, shorter second Jum'ah after this prayer. So please try to clear the way, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. As soon as you're finished, you can pray your sunan, inshallah ta'ala, outside. Not outside, inside of your house, inshallah. Yeah. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوي والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء نحوي سنقرئك فلا تنسي إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفي ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكر سيذكر من يخشي ويتجنبها الأشقي
الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيى قد أفلح من تزكي وذكر اسم ربه فصلي بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وبقي إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولي صحف إبراهيم وموسى.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
والشمس وضحيها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جليها والليل إذا يغشيها والسماء وما بنيها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سويها فألهمها فجورها وتقويها قد أفلح من زكيها وقد خيب من دسيها كذب الثمود بطغويها إذ انبعث أشقيها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقيها فكذبوا فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسويها ولا يخاف عقبيها.
الله أكبر.